Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Fall off the stage.
But he would make 84-year-old sugar daddy decisions while in office.
This man said sugar daddy decisions.
Willie
could be listening. Willie
Harrington is a goat.
Have you silenced?
Willie Harrington is a goat in a lot of arenas.
Yes, he is.
He's a goat. All right, and what I'm saying is that people like to throw out the Joe Biden thing. Joe Biden has the actual president of the United States, Kamala Harris, and they roll him out like Weekend at Bernie's, like I said, when he has to make a public appearance. If Willie is the mayor of Memphis, you're getting butt-naked Willie Harrington, 84-year-old man, decisions for the city. You're not getting, like—
I don't want to think about that. I said this with
Tammy Sawyer, who has her clear opinions that she shared about Willie Harrington yesterday. My wish for Willie Harrington would have been that he would have removed his ego from the side, moved his ego to the side, moved his own personal desires, his admiration to get back in— to the mayor's seat. I would have preferred that he took a young candidate, I don't care who it is. I've got my guy, but
get behind them.
Whatever. Get behind this younger guy.
I hear what you're saying.
Fully endorse him, right. Mentor him, mm-hmm. while he's making younger decisions for the city of Memphis, man. I have a problem with someone 84 years old making decisions for the city. If we're talking about progressing. Now, if you want a nostalgia factor, yeah, give me Willie Harrington. It'll feel like it's 1989 again.
Willie will have Mike Tyson back up in there fighting. He will bring it all back. We will jump him. Goodness. Now, I tell you, Tammy Sawyer got you fired. Come on, man.
The prefix is, okay.
My bad,
Brad. Sorry about it. Hope you.
It's all good, brother. Man, we appreciate you coming in. You know, we're going to have your guy, Leon Taylor, in here at 125.
Yeah, man.
He's the first one posting about DeAndre.
Shout out to the independent journalists out here, man. Yeah, this is just an independent journalist Friday. Shout out to Leon for real, man. People can say what they want to say about Leon. Nobody in the city of Memphis is more connected to preps, and not just local preps, man. Like, Leon does the work. He pays money out of his pocket sometimes to go to these, you know, AAU tournaments or, you know, just regular high school tournaments. He's built so many relationships with high school players across the country. To doubt being legit is crazy.
When he said there was a possibility for DeAndre, and he was right.
Like, a lot of these dudes are just sitting at the house, man, and they're just, you know, pick on the phone or whatever. Like, Leon is out there building relationships with these guys from middle school basketball through high school.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And to doubt that, man, I think is insane, bro. Now, his style is a little different, like mine. He goes about things. We don't have media training, me nor Leon. We learn all this stuff on the fly, nor do we care, I don't think, either one of us. But I definitely have to applaud him for what he does. I'm excited that he's coming on today. I wish he was in the studio. I would hang around.
That's why I admire both of you guys. Y'all didn't do it the cookie cutter way, and you didn't take no for an answer.
Yeah, man.
And Leon hasn't taken no for an answer, and he's continued to shine.
And I tell people all the time, like, for guys like me and Leon, you don't have to open up any doors for us, man. Just get the hell out of the way when we kick that joint down. That's all I got.
He is Anthony Sane. He's the host of the Anthony Sane Show. You should be watching on Bluff City Media. New episode today at 3 p.m. dropping. We appreciate his time every Friday. We'll be back with the rundown. Plenty more to talk about, too. We'll go back, revisit the finals. I'm sure we've got more Ja Morant to talk about as well. And we're going to talk about why the price of Brad's steak just went up. We'll do all that in the rundown when we get back. Listen to J&J, 929 FM ESPN.
I'm Michael Jenkins, helping you beat the books with BetQL. An NL Central battle starts this weekend between the Pirates and Cardinals in St. Louis. Pittsburgh has been one of the surprise teams in baseball this season, but their offense has gone cold. Over the last 30 days, the Pirates are dead last in runs scored in the majors. Combine this with St. Louis going six straight to the under, and the BetQL model is all over the total in this matchup. The BetQL five-star play of the day is to grab the under between the struggling Pirates and the Cardinals in Pittsburgh.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, every day around this time, we usually get to the rundown. We're a little late. Let's go.
It's the Rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Adam Silver talked about Ja Morant last night. We've spent a great deal of the first hour on it. And I've got one more question that we have not discussed that I want to ask Brad after we a little bit of review. We did not go through some all of what Adam Silver said, and we instead focused, I focused on one particular sentence. I think this is the most important. We've uncovered a fair amount of additional information, I think, since I was first asked about the situation. Here's the rest of what he said. Given that we're, of course, in the offseason, he has now been suspended by the Memphis Grizzlies indefinitely, so nothing would have changed anyway in the next few weeks. It seemed better to park that at the moment, at least any public announcement. And my sense now is that shortly after the conclusion of the finals, we will announce the outcome of that investigation. Asked if Morant's 8-game suspension was too light in hindsight, the first one, Silver said that Morant came across as heartfelt and serious during their March meeting. I'll finish real quickly. I guess in hindsight, I don't know. If it had been a 12-game suspension instead of an 8-game suspension, would that have mattered? I know it seemed based on precedent, and he's represented, and we want to be fair in terms of the league. It seemed appropriate at the time. That's all I can say. Maybe the definition of the extent, we've all seen the video, that it appears he's done it again. Yeah, maybe by definition, excuse me, to the extent we've all seen the video that it appears he's done it again, I guess you could say and maybe not. That was not harsh enough.
Right.
So, listen, you know, Say and I are pretty thorough. Brad and I discussed in the opening segment about where we think this is and whether, you know, the new information could be possibly tying Ja to a gun in a team facility, whether that's the Indiana game here in Memphis or whether it's the Colorado situation with the strip club, where the NBA's investigated previously on both of those instances and didn't tie that before. You know, are you talking to somebody else? Mm-hmm. I think the chances of that are low. We've discussed that all first hour. I will ask you this, though. We've been discussing numbers and in relation to, okay, you got Miles Bridges sitting at 30 games for domestic abuse, incredibly horrible domestic abuse. We've talked about numbers and where we still are. Sane's still in the 15 to 20 camp. I'm in 15 to 25. Have we considered this? And one of our listeners pointed this out, my man Ahmad Ali, and I think some others have too. What about, Brad, indefinite suspension with some things needing to be accomplished to get back? Mm-hmm. Do you think that, too, could be – we're looking at a stretch of games, right, and assuming it's mm-hmm. going to be that. What do you think – do you think it's a possibility that Silver could throw out? Because, remember, you did 8 games last time, and he does it 10 weeks later.
Right.
Right? So now do you install, you know, a set of goal, you know, mm-hmm. things he's got to get to, bullet points. Okay, you've got to do this, 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 mm-hmm. make it indefinite until he does as a way of handling this. And in turn, you're punishing him, but also in your mind, and we know Silver, you know, Silver, quote-unquote, cares about his players, you're also part of that is the you know, the repair, the whatever John needs in terms of mental, dealing with stress, playing with guns, whatever it is, you're dealing with that too in terms of whatever these goals could be. I thought that's probably something we should consider as well, that, you know, that way too you stay away from number and optically how it compares or would compare to Miles Bridges' suspension or suspensions of others if you put that indefinite on it and say Ja's got to do this, 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 and he can get back. Now, maybe he can only do that, right? It's a span of, you know, 20 games it would take at least for Ja to do it. But maybe that's a way, too, you can avoid optically, if you're Adam Silver, his Ja's suspension being compared directly to what you've done against Preston. Because like we said, Brad, he's backed into a corner in terms of what he can do because of precedent, because you were so lenient in the case of Miles Bridges.
Yeah, I like that
You'd
idea.
You'd avoid that if you say indefinite suspension with here's what he's got to do to get back.
I like the idea, especially if it's tied to direct action, and it also accomplishes the goal of pointing out exactly what you did wrong. In this case, if you're Adam Silver, it's about the gun, and the gun being on social media, and the optics and the marketing and your connection to young people who are following the NBA. And so you might tie it to, I don't want to project on the listener or the idea, but I'll parlay that into, okay, 10 to 15 games within a 30-day period and advised counseling. And then the maximum 25 or less, and that's tied to a public relations campaign that has direct action to make sure that young people know that it's violence, unacceptable, or there's... I'm not trying to make up things, Jason.
No, you follow what I'm saying?
In other words, there's direct action to why this is a problem and what you need to do to not fix it, but... maybe get down this path.
Yeah, I just think I think
is that where you're going with it?
Well, my point is it would help him avoid it being compared like we've talked about.
Bridges
all
thing,
we've
right?
done is gone back, not just Bridges, but every single one of them. Whether it was you know what my guy Latrell Sprewell did, the PJ and the choking incident, or
Gilbert Arenas and the gun in the locker room and all this stuff.
All of that. And so from that standpoint, I think you have to consider. Optically, you wouldn't be battling that if you put indefinite suspension on it and had, as
some
you
earmarks.
Laid out, some earmarks, things that he's got to reach.
I like the idea. And
he
honestly,
doesn't get put in a position where he's saying, well, you were too light on this, and you're coming down too heavy on this if you approach it with indefinite suspension.
The other thing it does is it gets fans away from talking about 8, 20, 25, to your point,
absolutely.
The 30 mark.
Like, it's more about, okay.
We stop focusing on all this crap that we've been dealing with.
And I don't know how, you probably don't even have to get into too public, you know, what the things that you've set for Ja Morant to have to do. Do you have to go into that criteria?
You probably don't have to.
Certainly you're going
to
be asked about it, but you don't have to. You can say, hey, that's something we worked with the NBPA hand in hand in terms of laying these things out.
That's right.
Do you necessarily have to get it?
No.
And it again, the NBA is facing a huge battle potentially in whatever it puts. And I just think a way of avoiding that, and there's a way you do that is possibly if you go this route. It's another angle to this I don't think we had openly discussed that maybe could come down and possibly a way, you know, it gives Adam Silver a way to not have this punishment compared to
I'm
what
tired
you've done
of talking about games and comparing them because it's I'm not saying it's hard to compare this to domestic violence or carrying a gun in the locker room, but it just gets exhausting talking about, is it going to be 20? Is it going to be 25? Is it going to be 30? Remember this
one? Well, that's why they should have. Now, take all this as a, that's why they should have gotten this done sooner.
I agree.
Now, you know, unless you had, you know, a whole new team of investigators go out there and you needed 3-4 weeks to get whatever, why would that be the case? You've spent some resources on this. Again, I could see asking questions again to some witnesses, but no, you should have put this to bed earlier. You should have done this because all we've been left to do is wildly speculate.
Well, and I thought last night was distracting.
You left it again.
Yeah.
You left it again for us to do this, frankly, through the finals or at least the first couple of days of it. Look, you got Kendrick Perkins right now going viral for saying Ja Morant shouldn't be in Memphis anymore because he keeps screwing up and all the Memphis rappers are too bad an influence. I'm paraphrasing. It's essentially what he said. It's ridiculous.
No, I thought last night was strange, to be honest with you, because
he had to address it because he's going to be asked about it, but that was another reason to put this to bed before the finals and before your little State of the Union address.
You either go go all the way or none. In other words, you say, listen, I don't really want to talk about it. We're going to put a penalty. We're going to have a fine coming up after the playoffs are over. Done. You don't give a whole, all these statements and stuff. Or you,
again,
you know.
Again, but, we're not just doing this in the Memphis right. market where we're talking about the suspension. This story is on First Take. It's on. It's all over
everywhere.
ESPN. So again, if he was trying to take attention away from it or certainly keep it, you don't do that by not having put this to bed sooner. That's
You're
my
right.
In terms of criticism that should be levied at the NBA. I mean that
it's distracting.
You should have put this to bed a while back. Again, you know, you have to consider you're going back and forth. You have to work with the NBPA. You come down with a season long suspension, having not consulted with them. You know you're in for a fight. So you've worked hand in hand with the NBPA, and that's just another reason why I think that suggestion of maybe indefinite suspension with some things to accomplish to get back. I could see the NBPA saying, okay. Now let's go through and write something that they would agree
sure.
with. And Silver seemed to indicate that he's been getting pretty solid cooperation from the NBPA. So it's another reason, Brad, why I don't think you'll just come down wily and heavy-handed with a half-season or year-long suspension.
Yeah.
NBPA ain't standing by
well,
for that.
And I told Jeffrey that. I said when Silver says, I think the NBPA is on board with this, that's actually code for, yeah, they are.
Yeah,
you know they're
yeah.
in the same. They're
he would know if they're ready to fight, and he wouldn't. Yeah. He wouldn't make the suggestion if they weren't. So that's where we're at. Essentially, it's the same position we've always been in. Still waiting. Only really having the new information that Silver said that they've uncovered additional information. We do not know what it is, but I think at least in this crew, still in the same boat. You can't go over 25, and maybe indefinite suspension is a way that you avoid. Optically, any PR battles comparing a Ja Morant suspension to precedent, Miles Bridges, anything else. We'll see what happens. Hopefully, we've got a conclusion to this very soon after the finals are done. We'll see if Silver keeps his word.
Next story.
Speaking of those finals, last night we said it, not much of a game. Heat outscored the first three quarters, and yeah, you know, 104-93, 11-point loss. Maybe the line was 9. Maybe you look at that and say, well, that wasn't much of a blowout. No, it wasn't indicative of the way Denver absolutely controlled that game. Jokic at the center of it had his 9th triple-double this postseason. That's an NBA record that he already owns and extended. 27 points, 10 rebounds, 14 assists. That's 9 triple-doubles in 16 games. He had 10 assists and no turnovers in the first half.
Crazy.
He only took 3 shots in the first half. So he's controlling it without even scoring. And so it was a clinic. You saw Aaron Gordon big body in, big boy in, Caleb Martin.
And he was scoring,
The confidence level of Denver in that game, you knew early on there wasn't going to be any rust. You saw it there in the first quarter. We said if there's going to be a rust, it'd be early. And Denver looked as sharp as a knife early, like they had been, it almost looked like they had been planning for Miami to be the one, like they'd spent the majority of time preparing for Miami's zone rather than the Celtics. And we know they didn't, they couldn't, up until Monday night, you had no idea, but that's how prepared they looked for what's clearly, you know, as well a coach team as there is in the Miami Heat under Eric Spoelstra. You know, John had pointed out teams coming off of Game 7 losses going into the, you know, excuse me, Game 7 wins going into the finals was at 38% in terms of, like, it's low, and that certainly seemed to be a factor. You're talking about 9 days rest for Denver. The Miami Heat are coming off of, just 2 days, an exhausting series, and it looked like it early on, and it looked like it from the standpoint that Miami was never aggressive. Jimmy Butler, 13 points, the fewest that he scored in these playoffs, but it was more the way that he went about it, just 8 drives to the basket, as I mentioned to Anthony Sain. Now, usually Jimmy Butler is getting to the basket around 20 times per game, so this was much different. Clearly, Denver's length was bothering him, and Brad, we had mentioned it, and turns out, can't take the credit, the Ringer had the breakdown. We discussed it earlier in the week. Aaron Gordon's been phenomenal in terms of defending Jimmy Butler. And, you looked up,
good.
13 points. Sure, Jimmy had the 7 rebounds, 7 assists, but this was, as we said, fewest points in a game this season. Jimmy Butler didn't get to the free throw line. That has not happened all playoffs.
Yep.
That tells you, too, as he said afterwards, that we're not attacking the rim. He said, we've got to attack the rim more, a lot more, myself included. Again, just 8 drives for Jimmy Butler. That does not happen. It just shows you how off their game Denver had Miami. There was no question about that. In terms of some of the smaller details of that game, and we got before, and maybe this can, perhaps this can help Miami in game two or not, but perhaps Tyler Hero, I think Woj was the first to have it, can get back in this series for Miami. He had been out, obviously, had surgery to fix the third and fourth metacarpal on that right hand back on April, had been out since. Hopefully Miami at least is going to have him by game three, but maybe by game two. That was something we got before the game. Listen, if it lifted Miami's spirits, it certainly didn't look like it without him. It was everything. It's crazy. Sometimes we preview games and we're so far off. That felt like me for most of the Celtics-Miami series. You just couldn't put your finger on it in terms of what was going to happen. But in terms of what we said about this series and the way it looked like with every matchup that Denver had the advantage on both ends, and to see it play out like it did last night, you know, it usually doesn't come off the way this was exactly what we said.
Exactly.
It was everything. Again, Jokic dominates in that game. Jamal Murray as well. We mentioned they were the first teammates to both have at least 25 points, 10 assists in an NBA Finals game since the only other tandem to do that was Magic Johnson, James Worthy back in 1987. They made it look absolutely easy. So I don't know what the game two's on Sunday. I don't know what the adjustments are for Spoelstra because you saw it. They tried to go zone when Jokic was out. And even that Denver team, that lineup destroyed the zone. If Michael Porter's going to play that well defensively, be that active when you've got Aaron capable of slowing Jimmy Butler, there just aren't many answers. Other than injury, as we said, and you saw Jamal Murray go down in that game, but he was able to get back up. I think he had hurt his arm, but when I saw it, I said, because they only play 7-8 guys. But, of course, he was fine, able to shook it off or whatever else. Mm-hmm. Maybe injury that is the only thing that can slow this Denver team down.
I think that's exactly right.
Last night would indicate this thing looks like it's going to be 5 games tops like I had, initially predicted.
This is the first time we've all been waiting to be proven wrong, and everybody was sort of proven right that this was a yawner, and it looked like – did you think Miami looked tired? I mean, I know
I mean, you're only 2 days removed.
Looked tired.
But you blew out Boston, but look at what you had to do to get to that point and how deflated you were after the game six. There was the travel back and forth.
Yeah.
Absolutely, Miami looked tired. But I don't think being however much rest between now and Sunday that you can get, I don't think it's the difference. It's more tactical. It's more how do you zone a team that's got the ultimate cheat code when it comes to a zone and Nikola Jokic. And Jokic is playing such a high level of basketball without even having to shoot the dang ball, Brad. He's Mark Gasol on steroids.
Yes.
Because he makes all the right decisions. Yeah. He plays the beautiful game. You watch him, and some people might be yawning, and he's out there dominating the game. He is truly phenomenal in the way that he dominates the game and makes it look so easy. He makes the difficult look easy.
Yeah.
And that becomes, for me at least, and many of you all will rile up at it because you're like, Mark, it's beautiful. That's what Van Gundy kept saying last night. This is beautiful. To me, it gets boring. When he constantly makes all the right plays, right? He makes it look so easy, it gets boring.
Yes.
But what I cannot push back on or debate is that he's as good as it gets. And that's why it looks that way. I mean, sure, he's not dunking and above the rim and dunking on people if that's what you need to get excited. You know, and I guess I'm talking to myself. Well, I'm just not going to be excited to see. No, you have to appreciate, is my point, what this man is doing. You know, whether you rank him up with your superstars or the guys that you'd most like to watch in the NBA or not. It was absolute domination of that game. Spoelstra's a good coach. Jimmy Butler's a stud. And you keep him from driving in the basket, you got him scared to drive the basket. Michael Malone right now has got Denver operating at, you know, highest level I've ever seen him. And maybe, you know, you keep him like this, and again, they only play 7-8 guys, but you know, this Denver team could come back next year and repeat.
Yeah.
This Denver team could be right back where it is. I just don't – can you keep him at this level, you know, sustain this level for years and years, you know, folks that have compared this – to whether or not they can be a Golden State-type dynasty. I don't know because, again, it gets pretty thin after your two stars with Jamal. It's a bunch of guys playing their roles very well.
It's eight guys, really.
And Aaron Gordon, I would say, is an exceptional role player.
Yeah.
But other than that, you don't look at that roster and just go, holy cow.
No.
But they are playing in a fashion that makes you say, holy cow. They are that dominant and were last night. As we said, game two is on Sunday. Miami going to need a lot more than Tyler Hero, it feels like, to get back, to truly get into this series. Remember, they had won, Brad, before we move on, game one of every game this series for them. Michael Malone reminded Denver of that before they went out there on the floor, that Miami had gone into the visitors' arena game ones, won every single one of them, said don't let them take control of this series like they've done in every other one. And Denver, it never got close.
I think that's important.
Not from, like, the beginning.
You need that first one.
Even in that fourth when Miami cut it to nine, nah. All you need is a couple of Jokic turnarounds.
It never felt close.
He'll take over, and it's absolutely done. So tip of the cap to Denver, looking like we thought they would in game one, taking care of business against Miami. In game two in Denver at that high altitude will be on Sunday night.
Next story.
Mikey Williams has been dropped by a sports tech company. Mikey Williams, the Memphis Tigers signee, who we know is facing six felony gun charges from a March incident out in California that was at his house, has, in a similar way that we've talked about, well, what will happen with Ja Morant's endorsement deals, Powerade, Nike. Mikey Williams was his own little corporation, had been first high school athlete to sign a shoe deal. He did so with Puma a few years ago, one that made him at least a millionaire, made $1 million for him. Lace Clips, it's a sports tech company that makes fitness trackers, has told TMZ that they've cut ties with the Memphis basketball signee. He's not someone that will be associated with our brand going forward, said Lace Clips president Jonathan Nussbaum. I'm reading from the story from Jason Munns over at the Commercial Appeal, commercialappeal.com. You know, we are all familiar so much with the Mikey Williams story now, we don't even, you know, talk about, you know, what the incident anymore, what occurred, his shooting of a gun, you know, five shots hit a car that was leaving his house. Mikey Williams' teammate, it appears, J.J. Taylor, was there. I think the girl in the car had come actually to see J.J. Taylor. The thing about it is J.J. Taylor, surprisingly to me, but not perhaps to Penny Hardaway and to them. I mean, they've certainly got the, they have a better idea of whether or not Mikey's going to be able to get here or not, but J.J. Taylor's here. You know, Mikey's high school
on
teammate,
campus, yeah.
Best friend. It was not charged in the incident. He's here at Memphis now, and like we talked about yesterday, Brad, it's still interesting because you see Penny Hardaway here filling spots, one possibly now with DeAndre Williams if you can get the NCAA waiver. You know, Mikey Williams is one of those spots in terms of a scholarship. And if you're down to one scholarship or two tops, you know, trying to decide between, okay, do we move on from this? Remember, Mikey's next hearing is not till June 29th. Penny's got, at this point, most of his guys or the majority of the team arriving or set to arrive in July. But most of, I think Leonard and the kid Young, the transfer from UCF, mm-hmm. are the only other two. Well, Forrest, we'll see what happens with him. He's been told
they said yesterday he's on the roster
he's
still.
He's been told he's part of the team, but that looks like more. Remember when we did our count yesterday?
Yes.
Our count and you put Forrest on there, the scholarships are full.
Right.
You can't get David Jones mm-hmm. from St. John's. Do you get my drift?
I do.
I think that's why he's been told to report in July.
Yeah.
We did not include him yesterday for a reason because
I hate that for him, by the way. That kind of blows, it's part of the game.
It's the nature of college basketball now with this in this transfer era where at any time you can be recruited over.
Right.
It just
sucks, though. You're a student-athlete, though, and you do get recruited for it. It's kind of the way it is now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Find another place.
So I'm not sure what happens with Forrest, but like I said, if you're including him, those numbers really drop off. And so back to the story Mikey. We knew when this happened that this possibility was there. I mean, whether it was Puma or someone else that he's got to deal with, just like we've talked about and discussed the possibility of Nike pausing things with Ja Morant, or in the case of Powerade, it pausing things with Ja Morant as well. Now, we haven't gotten any clarity yet on what Nike's doing, and that's, you know, Ja is on a completely different level in terms of the scale of investment by those companies. Right, what Puma's invested in Mikey Williams much different than what Ja's invested, what Nike's invested in Ja.
Right.
But, dude,
it's not good though.
I just don't see how you can wait and hold a scholarship for a guy whose criminal stuff could go long past June 29th. This is another preliminary hearing. We're not talking about the start of a trial, and so how do you get a guy with six felony charges in, whether it's July or August, with anything like this hanging over him? So, you know, maybe it ends up being where Memphis cuts ties with Mikey too, as these companies are now doing. Right now, we know he is still in the fold. His high school teammate is in the fold and here in J.J. Taylor. But news hadn't been good for Mikey Williams of late, and
I don't know that it's going to get any better anytime soon.
Next story.
Phoenix Suns saw this news earlier today. Phoenix Suns finalizing a deal to make Frank Vogel their new coach. Sources told ESPN today the Suns offered Vogel the job this morning, expected to complete terms on a long-term deal that will deliver him the chance to coach, of course, Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. Vogel emerged out of a finalist group that included former Philly coach Doc Rivers, Suns assistant Kevin Young. Vogel comes with, of course, having won the title in the bubble with the Lakers, and, of course, he's known as a guy who's big on defense. Certainly had that Lakers team humming. Now, a lot of that was a result of that roster, you know, back then, that 2020 bubble roster that was equipped to be good defensively. I'm not sure that Phoenix, as they currently stand or constructed, certainly with Devin Booker and Kevin Durant being at the center of things, are equipped right now in the way that Frank Vogel needs to be a guy that can be effective with what he employs defensively. I do think, I mean, they were probably going to go the route. Don't you have to when you've got a guy like Kevin Durant, who right now is only playing for championships? Isn't it kind of tough to sell him an assistant, a guy who hasn't been through the wars, especially with what you just saw with the Boston Celtics? You put Mazzulla in a spot where clearly a lot of his inexperience showed. Mm-hmm. When you're trying to sell a coach to a Kevin Durant or even a Devin Booker, who's as, you know, as high level a player as there is, hadn't won any championships yet, I imagine having a guy who's been there and done that matters, especially to KD. And so that's why I'm assuming you look at a guy like Frank Vogel, who won it as recently as 2020. I realize many of you all will say asterisk and bubble. That team was operating at a high level, especially defensively with AD and LeBron at the centerpiece. So I'm not going to sit here and say that that I don't think Frank Vogel will work for Phoenix. They'll be a little bit better defensively, but what's going to matter more in terms of if they can be better defensively is what they do with the rest of that roster. What are they capable of doing with the rest of that? They don't have much wiggle room. Maybe you trade DeAndre Ayton, or maybe all of a sudden DeAndre Ayton likes playing for his coach. Maybe you know, he can have a better relationship with Frank Vogel than he did Monty Williams, because that certainly seemed to be sour all the way through. From the beginning of the end, you know, into last year when they weren't talking, to what you saw from DeAndre Ayton in this series, it never seemed right. I'm not sure if you can get him re-engaged and make him an incredible defensive centerpiece or not. But the only wiggle room that Phoenix seems to have to me is to move off of him. Otherwise, you're just running it back with the same dudes. Not sure that that's going to get Frank Vogel's way done.
I guess you're getting Chris Paul healthy, too, in that mix.
Dude, how much longer can you put – it might be time to move off of Chris Paul. That's the issue there, is that you've gotten to these playoffs year after year after year now, and he's unavailable.
Always banged up. Always.
And he's only getting – what are we talking, 37, 38? He's only getting older. So that's – Phoenix has got to get to a point where it's going to ask itself, okay, we – regular season's one thing. We need Chris Paul in the playoffs, and he hasn't been
us. You don't have him.
I mean, you know, remember the Rockets and him and Harden, and they were right there in position, what, against Golden State, and he went down there, and what it did to the rest of the series. So
here's the other thing on this story that drew me to it. The money that these coaches are now getting as leverage to come is $31 million 5 years after Monty signed his deal with
Detroit.
Highest
paid. I know some people were pushing back on Monty becoming the highest paid coach and it coming from Detroit, and why would you do that? I mean, Detroit's, you know, got a chance to get a coach of the year with a young nucleus, right? That probably a guy that it feels like wasn't at fault for what happened in Phoenix. Look, that Phoenix team, you know, Ishbia makes the new owner, comes in, says, let's make the trades, let's go get Kevin Durant. It was still thrown together on the fly.
Right.
You know, the DeAndre Ayton thing wasn't working at the end, and maybe, sure, part of that is on Monty, but Monty wasn't the reason. I think he got that more so, Brad, because of the way it ended, the way they were blown out in two.
The Denver series.
Optically, what happened that series, and then Dallas last year. Yeah. Remember, they folded up, and that was under Monty. So I think it was more punishment for that, rather than looking at Monty as the issue. And so I think Detroit looks at it as, well, here's our chance to go out and get a real, you know, a guy who is considered one of the elite in a franchise. We like our pieces, but we got to get up off the map. We want them around our young guys.
So I never looked at Monty as the reason. I never looked at Monty as the reason.
So we can go back and forth that Monty's not the best coach in the league. I think that guy's in Miami, and so he shouldn't be paid make the highest money. But he was up. Detroit's paying through the gills because this is their chance to get a former NBA coach of the year. I don't mind that he's making – I'm not going to hate on Monty getting all that Skrilla. And, in fact, I think he's going to be a great influence on those young guys, Jaden Ivey, Cade Cunningham, our guy Jalen Duren, Wiseman is there now. He's got some nice young pieces, yeah. right?
And draft picks.
And here's the thing. Detroit took their man Dwayne Casey, who had also been a former coach of the year with Toronto and had been the coach. You know, they moved him up to the front office. Mm-hmm. The thing for Monty here, man, you know, you finish up with Detroit, heck, you could be out there losing, and they'll push you up front office, man. You know what I'm saying? Folks that are saying, well, why didn't Monty go to one of these teams and organizations that are a little bit more competitive right now, maybe more of a true contender? Man, you got security probably with the Detroit Pistons, even when it's run its course like it had with Dwayne Casey. Man, they'll bump you to the front office and take care of you. So Monty gonna be taking care of it.
And
I'm not gonna hate on that man getting all that money.
I'm not a Detroit fan, but I was. You know, they obviously dropped in the draft to like 5.
Remember, too, what Monty's been through in life.
Yep. Oh, with the car accident. It's devastating.
To be able to pour into people and still be a professional and as good a dude as Monty Williams is with what they've been through, I just think I put myself in those shoes, but lose my wife to a drunk
tragedy.
How bitter and maybe unable to go on, I would think.
He forgave the guy publicly, went out there.
It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
In terms of what it would require to be still that kind of man. Yeah. I don't know that I'm built like that. And so what do I look like hating on a good dude? We can go back, forget debating how good a coach he is. What would I look like hating on a man like that getting the most money of any coach in the NBA? Monty Williams is the wrong dude to hate on just because he's as good a dude as there is. And frankly, he's not the reason that Phoenix did not win a championship this year. I got one more thing.
Next story.
It's why the price of Brad's rare steak's going up.
So what's happening here with meat prices?
Are you aware of all this? It's your steaks and your burgers. Well, you're about... here's my thing.
You're really talking about my
Brad
burgers
Carson
and my meat.
Germantown going to buy his meat no matter what the price is. He doesn't give a damn. The meat could
be... We get it straight from the farm, Jason. Come on now.
No, you don't. You get it straight from the farm for real?
I brought some from Illinois this week. My father butchered...
So you don't buy meat. Your dad sends it down.
So this week I went from Memorial Day weekend to Mount Olive, Illinois.
To the farm.
And on the farm, you have cattle, right? You go to the meat processing place, you drop off... So your
dad knows all about this story.
100%, yeah. And this is organic stuff that we got over at the Carson household. But I don't... I won't say that we don't occasionally... Like, you know, you run out of meat in the freezer or you don't have enough, you go get you some prime USD or on the fly over there at a Kroger someplace like that.
And you could have brought me and John back a steak or something.
I might have something for you. You
still? Yeah. You ain't ate it all up yet?
No.
So y'all put it in the freezer? You got a freezer full.
Yeah, but it's, you know, a lot of it is patties, too. It's not all prime. It's not all prime.
You do deer meat and all that stuff, too?
I don't do, what is it, venison? No, not a venison person.
Okay.
No. So occasionally, I'll have a friend who...
That USDA.
Yeah, you go for that.
You
go for an Angus, yeah.
Yeah.
A good cattle.
Nice and rare, so you can taste it.
No, not rare.
I'm with you
more than you might think on this one. I want that
thing. I know you don't like me messing with you. I've kind of turned it on
No, no, no. I like it.
Y'all used to make fun of me, too. I've turned it on you guys, and you like it raw.
You know what? Don't let John misposition you on this, because I know you're a man who takes pride in your meat as well.
I will go, medium well to well, depending upon where I'm at. We've been through it. We've gone through the situation.
Not totally incinerated.
Where you need to ask well done instead of medium well.
Just well done.
Man, it can't be a puck. Yeah. It can't be where I can't chew the thing.
My mother damn near loves it like a puck. I mean, like, because I cooked for her this week. We were on the grill, and she's like, kind of little tender there in the center. I'm like, what? How long do you want to
sound like
that
she don't
thing?
Like that pink in there either.
She doesn't want
like
any
me.
Pink. No pink.
Yeah.
But it's hard because she's got to be separate.
Woman.
You know,
that's a good woman.
You got
there.
You got the mother over here, and then you got these other people over here.
Completely
you know?
Understand. Yeah. Well, Wall Street Journal is telling us that the price of ground beef, in particular, is already up more than 20% since 2020. It's going to hit record highs this summer, and likely that trend will continue into 2024. Why? Drought conditions, cost increases, pandemic disruptions. In some cases, these factors have led ranchers to sell off their livestock. And few see reasons to place the cows they've sent to slaughter or increase the number of animals they care for. That's what we've got is dwindling.
So like hay is up, all of this stuff. My father sells those big round bales. Those are going for $100 a piece now. You know, the ones you see on the side of the road.
Yeah, when you're driving by.
Rolled $100 for one of those.
How cheap they used to be?
$60.
gone
$50. Three or four years ago, you could buy one for about $50. This is in the Midwest, too, where they have hay. But $100.
One of those big bales is only $50. That's why there's so dang many of them out there. Now they're $100.
Now, in some places, it goes up even further. You go down to Texas where they have feedlots, you can go to $150. I mean, those things are expensive. Because think about it. You got a tractor. You got the actual hay. You have the twine to roll that thing. It's got to be stored. It can't get wet. You can't get it wet because it'll mold.
The number of cattle in the United States has reached its lowest level in almost a decade for all of those reasons that we're talking about.
It's the grain prices and all of it. It's all up.
It's sent everything up. It's, wow. The price is now up and going to continue to go up. But what this report points out is that when it comes to our beef and our steak, we will pay whatever.
People will pay it.
There isn't a line that will say, no, we're not getting our meat because we love our meat.
Yeah, yeah.
Unlike maybe some other products that get to a point where I'm going to do without eggs for a little while. We'll just not have eggs with our bacon, whatever else, with our meat.
Yeah.
We have to get it because we are trained up to have that thing, that juicy steak on that plate.
If you are, pro tip,
if you're
looking to save a buck, go to Costco and buy the full rack it. They have the slab and you cut it yourself. It's cheaper if you buy the slab from Costco because you can slice it into pieces as opposed to buying it where it's already filleted out.
You're schooling me.
It'll save you a few bucks.
Fate's always taking care of it.
Just go ahead and slice it up yourself and off the slab and then freeze it that way. It's a little cheaper that way.
Okay.
Yeah. The Costco does a pretty good job on the price.
Fate just because it's Walmart meat or Kroger meat. And I say, well, just get the Kroger meat.
Kroger's high end, man. You buy those fillets from
Kroger. It's high end, right? I can tell the difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can tell the difference. But just like I was able to tell the difference, you know how much John's invested in Target?
Oh, he's taken it in the shorts recently then because the stock just cratered.
Did it?
Yeah, and it was because of they were doing an LGBT open, they were trying to embrace the month, and so people were, it's like the Bud Light thing.
I had seen some headlines, but hadn't,
Because a lot of the general public are like, we're not going to go there, boycott Target.
My guess is they're going to get past the boycott because I take Chris into Walmart a lot, whether it's Pokemon cards or whatever, sure. He always wants to go in that toy section, and here's the thing. I'm just gonna be honest with you. Toy section's been run through. Looks like
it is
Christmas.
A little thin.
I mean, it's
thin.
Thin.
Bro, no,
here's
it is
the thing.
Thin.
Here's the thing, bro. My son's into Monopoly.
Oh, let me hear me. Tell
so,
me what school
so,
me on this.
So we all wanted to. I wanted to go. He's all into Monopoly. They played it. He played it with my wife at her school. They had it there. He played it. He wants to keep playing. I think this is great. I loved playing Monopoly with my parents growing up. Learned so many lessons. My mom and I would have games that would go 2-3 days. I can't wait to go buy Monopoly for Chris, and we'll start that tradition in our own family now that I know that, he wants to play, and he knows how to earn money by passing Go. No question. So I go to Walmart.
All right.
I'm going to go get me the original Monopoly. Bro, they didn't have a thing in there. They had one like knockoff like Spider-Man Monopoly that's got all the streets are like Spider-Man, and so I'm not, because that's not the original. You know what I'm saying? I need the horseman and the thimble and the car.
Oh, you
and
want
all that.
The authentic but, one? You don't but, want a knockoff
so,
version.
So exactly.
So if you go to Tiger Bookstore, you can get a Tiger version of it.
I didn't know that.
Yes,
but that's to your point. What you just said, I wanted the original version.
Yeah,
it was not at Walmart. I went to Target. Bro, they had a full selection.
Oh.
And this is why Target will, I think, in the
They'll
end.
They'll sustain themselves.
They will bounce back from this because like I was just comparing Kroger and Walmart meat.
Sure.
There is no comparison between the selection and listen, I will buy, y'all will see me at Walmart probably this weekend. I don't believe me, I'm at Walmart.
You're not buying your steak at Walmart?
There is nothing like the selection comparison of Walmart and Target.
Is it not USA Prime or USDA Prime?
No, I'm just talking about
the actual experience.
No, I'm just talking about the entire experience. Go in there, want to find a original Monopoly. It's at Target. It ain't at Walmart. That's my point. Target
it's a better
has
store.
A better. It is.
Target
it's
is a more, better store than Walmart. I don't think
and,
I'm telling.
And listen,
we're not telling secrets.
I listened to John go on and on about Target and doubted him and said, "Man, it ain't all that and all right. that." And I can get all my. No, it's. I saw it this weekend, man. It is. I just did a lot better, and it was a better shopping experience.
Let me ask you this.
In Target. So I think Target's going to be able to get through this.
When I was growing up, we didn't have, you could get to Walmart a little easier than Target. The rich folks went to Target. The normal folks went to Walmart, Payless, like I did. That's the difference.
Well, I was telling Faith as we went in, I said, oh, this is nice. I had not been in Target in years. So
that's where the rich folks go.
Pardon how naive I sound. I was like, because we had just been in Walmart looking for this damn Monopoly thing. And I went in there. I said, oh, this is nice.
Yeah.
I said this is for white folks out here. I was telling Faith that. But I can't remember which
Target. You just went to Cordova? They're right next to each other, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're right across the street from each other
right
on Germantown Parkway.
Germantown Parkway. That's the one we were at.
You can literally go to both of them.
So I went in. I said, man, this must be the white folks Target. But I look, black folks everywhere. We know too. So that's what I'm saying. But it is way more upscale.
Oh, it's a nicer store.
And there's a much better selection, including the original Monopoly at Target. Now, this was a conversation that started about your beef prices going up and me loving Kroger meat over Walmart meat, but it's gotten much
deeper. Still owe you and John, let's get, you know what, you guys, first of all, have been killing it with everything over the past few years. I won't go too inside baseball here. Instead of that lunch being at Gus's, we should go get a good steak. I think the boss ain't taking us. So maybe week three go and I'll try to get some allowance.
Depends on who's cooking that steak.
Are we going to Applebee's? Maybe not Applebee's, but a nice place. Where can we go out east? It's not like a Folks Folly. Or,
I appreciate you offering.
Yeah, maybe we should do that. Maybe the boss could give me some trade or something.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah,
we'll figure it out. You gotta wait on John to get back from Serbia.
That's going to go okay.
Last thing on that. While chicken might be the most eaten protein in America, did you know that? The beef market is worth double the poultry market. Yeah, coming in at a whopping $30 billion in the year April 23. So say all that to say beef prices going up, your steak, your burgers, we're still going to pay whatever it is, but expect that trend to continue through 2024. We got plenty more to get to, including next hour, Leon Taylor of Go Tigers 247, a guy who was the first to publicly post about the possibility of DeAndre Williams getting back to Memphis for a fourth straight season. Leon Taylor was on that. There's no question about it. And David Jones, the St. John's transfer, who has made a visit to Memphis earlier this week, is he set to make a decision here soon? Will the Tigers be getting news on David Jones here soon? We'll ask Leon Taylor that and about the rest of the roster in the third hour. We've got plenty more to get to. You're listening to Jason and John, 929 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.